Episode 32 in all English with Carl Pauli.
The Swedish bread is the best bread in the world. Just like a little classic limpa. It's just like, you can't really beat that.
Is it one, is it two, is it one, two, three, four?
Where we get to know different people's focused lifestyles and their winning disciplines. And now, your host, the one and only Peter Larson.
Bazinga! Thank you very much. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 32 of the Flawed Podcast, where we get to meet Carl Pauli. Carl is one of the most renowned coaches in the world today. His background is that he's originally from Spain. He is a former elite gymnast. He's a businessman. He created NACA Athletic, Gymnastics WOD. He's an author and a New York Times bestseller of Freestyle the Book. He's on a mission to help make a positive impact in the world using movement as a base. I got to meet Carl at the seminar here in my hometown for the second time in Gothenburg, Sweden, where he did a freestyle movement seminar, which was really good. And Carl was gracious enough to give us some time so we could talk to him and talk about his book, what Freestyle Connection is, what the freestyle for, what kind of movements is that, the Imagine Game, transferability, the importance of locomotion, and much, much more. Me personally, I found Carl Pauli through Mobility WOD, Kelly Starrett, when I saw Carl in his movies, and also Googled how to do certain movements, and Carl has a super ultra skill of sharing progressions, easy progressions, understandable progressions, and we're talking a bit about that in the podcast as well. So I also want to give a shout out to Henrietta Sjögren. Thank you very much for being a proponent, almost pushing me and Carl, forcing us to do a podcast. So thank you very much, Etta. I really appreciate that. I also want to say that Carl offered to have a follow-up podcast if you guys, the listeners, have any questions, any follow-up questions. So send that to me, as usual, pl@flawed.se. I read everything and also give us feedback if the sound quality is good and guest suggestions to help this podcast move forward up in the ranks and sharing knowledge throughout the universe. So thank you guys for listening and thanks again, Carl. I hope you are enjoying yourself and also that you are enjoying this episode with Carl Pauli, Freestyle Connection. Today, it's my deep honor to have one of the most renowned, gymnastic coaches in the world. He has been an elite gymnast. He is from Spain originally, but also from Sweden. We're going to talk a bit about that. He found CrossFit around 2004, I think. And he is the creator of NACA Athletics. He has a website called Gymnastics WOD. He's an author, a New York Times bestseller. What's the name of the book? Freestyle Maximize.
It's Freestyle. Freestyle is the name of the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the subtitle is a little different.
So, he is also a super coach. Without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Carl Pauli.
Thank you so much for having me. Very flattering to be here. Yeah.
How do you like that intro?
I thought that intro was good.
Yeah?
Yes. I was like, oh, wow, I've done some things
yes.
I forgot about.
So, if now I'm a bit of a fanboy, so I mean, I know you, I've been following you for years.
Uh-huh.
I think most of the listeners have, but let's pretend that someone haven't met you before.
Yes.
At a cocktail party or something like that. How do you introduce yourself? What do you tell them what you do?
You know, that is the hardest question
yeah.
to answer, but the short answer is I am a teacher in the fitness industry. The longer answer is I am a businessman who is trying to develop a compassionate business around helping people understand themselves, their environments, and their craft, and how they can make positive change in the world, regardless of what they do or who they are. That'll be the longer one.
Yes, I like that, positive change. How are you, I mean, I know the answer for myself. How are you making a positive change with, I think movement is the base, and then you do so many other things, but how did you start this positive change? Have you always been a mind for positive change?
I think I've always been positive. Mm-hmm. I've always had this ability. It's since I was a kid. I was kind of a dreamer. But I've always had this ability to see, feel something in my head and thought, oh yeah, I want to make this happen. I want to see if I can achieve this thing. And then just going for it. And even though I encountered fear, obstacles, pain, injuries, broken relationships here and there as a kid, just small little things, I was always very positive. I always saw the good in what other people thought was a struggle or bad. So yeah, it's been a thing that I've had since I was a kid.
Why do you think that is? How did you get it? Did you learn it, or did you have it like from the beginning?
I guess I learned it, but it stemmed from fear. I was a very fearful kid. Yeah, I was the kind of kid that I don't want to go to a birthday party with the kids. They're too loud. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to have a sleepover. It scares me to go sleep somewhere far from my parents. Yeah. I was always, you know, hugging my mom's leg as a kid. I was scared of everything. But it was gymnastics that really helped me overcome that fear. And it was actually my mother reminded me pretty recently about this, and she told me a story about my first ever gymnastics competition. And she said that she was so worried that I wasn't going to perform that day, that I wasn't going to be able to make it out there because I was such a fearful kid. But the moment I stepped onto the gymnastics floor, I transformed into this kind of superhero. No fear, no nothing, just like go. And I remember that vividly, how I could jump higher, I could run faster, I felt no pain when I was competing. And I guess that's when I realized that if I can do it in competition, I can do it in any given moment of my day.
So, when was this and where was this?
This was in Spain, and it was probably, let's say, what would be 87, 1987.
So, how did you keep transforming yourself? When was there a tipping point from when you didn't need the competition to have this supercharged person or
whatever? Yeah. There was a moment where I had really decided when I was a kid, I fell in love with the idea of the Olympics. And it was in 1996 where I actually thought to myself, no, I'm done with the gymnastics thing. I'm moving on. But I watched the Olympics that summer. It was Atlanta in the U.S. And that was the year that the American USA gymnastics team won the Olympics. And it was something about watching that team that was a very diverse team also. You know, there were whites, blacks, you know, it was just like this very diverse team, which where I came from in Spain, it was very uniform. There was no variety. And somehow these people came together and did something very special. And there was a very special event that happened in the 1996 Olympics, which was Carrie Strug. She did her final vault and broke her ankle, but it was that vault that gave them the points to end up getting the gold. So it was like a very emotional, dramatic, it was like a Hollywood scene, okay? but it was that moment I was like, oh, wait a second, I'm not done with gymnastics. I kept going. And unfortunately, I didn't make it to the Olympics, but it was the day that I took all of my years of training in gymnastics and that kind of dream of the Olympic dream that I had seen in Atlanta and applied it to something like wakeboarding and snowboarding. And I was like, it's the same thing. And that was very powerful. So that was also like a tipping point where I realized that I could cross over.
Yeah, and I mean, your book talk a lot about transferability. I really like the model. Perhaps we can put it in the show notes on the website, the triangles.
Mm-hmm.
The skill transfer, mm-hmm. and then a triangle or a pyramid or whatever you want to call it, to the right or to the left, and in any direction. And I also really like that in the book with... perhaps we're going to talk, let's talk about it very soon, the four foundational movements, how they are transferable to Olympic weightlifting. It's the same. I never heard it before, but in handstand push-up, the second kick, I think you call it, is the same as the second pull or something like that.
Yes.
I'm not quoting you exactly here, but I really like that transferability. And you made me... both yesterday, because you had a seminar, and also in the book, made me see or connect the dots, which felt intuitively right. So thank you very much for that.
That's awesome. I'm glad I could help with that.
Yeah. So let's go into how these skill transfers are taking place, what you see in the fitness industry today, and how you're taking the book and these four movements to everything else, pretty much.
Well, let's start with the title of the book is Freestyle. And the reason it's freestyle is because if I had to call my way of coaching and teaching, I would call it freestyle. That would be the method. And the essence of freestyle starts by accepting and respecting all styles of movement and valuing that every movement is applicable to another movement, whether it's in sport, in life, playing with your kids, or whether it's playing music, making art, making dinner, anything that's physical. So that's the number one part. With that, in the book, because I where I found my voice was in the CrossFit community, which CrossFit I see as a freestyle strength and conditioning program. That's where I started by simply answering people's questions. And by answering people's questions, I arrived at four movement patterns. Squatting, some sort of pressing mechanics, it was some sort of pulling mechanics, and then your ability to combine all of those. In the book specifically, I talk about the pistol, which is a single leg squat, a handstand push-up, which is an overhead press, the muscle-up, which is a pull-up into a dip, which is another press, and then the burpee, which is your ability to get off the ground with a certain style. Anyone who knows anything about training, though, knows that four movements are not enough to have a complete practice. And that's where I think it's important to address that those four movements are just an excuse to talk about what we really care about, which is improvement, getting better, performance, not having aches and pains. And realizing that each one of those movements has a universal progression, an infinite progression that can take you from not being able to move at all to performing that specific movement that I talk about, but also taking that progression and applying it into anything that they want.
Yeah.
Running, jumping, landing, throwing, catching, skiing, snowboarding, right? And that's where the transferability starts happening. And it happens through very basic body shapes and some very basic principles that are underlying any kind of physical performance.
So yesterday during your seminar, we started the discussion with right and wrong in the movement. And I really like, you said something later on, I think it was, if you have a pattern for a movement that is right or wrong, it's conditional love. I really, it was like a light bulb for me. And if you let the movement be free, or let's say for a muscle up, the ability to take yourself up on the rings, for instance, or over a fence or something. If you do it, however, that's, you succeed if you're over the fence or up on the rings. So that's unconditional love. And I really like that.
So, I'm glad you like that, because I, as cheesy as it may sound, that's, I guess that's my mission in life. It's to show unconditional love. And if I can help people understand that, feel that, then I'm doing my job.
So let's go back a bit. How you grew up in Spain, but you also have, now we're in Sweden, Gothenburg. And you have a part of your family here.
Yeah.
If I understand correctly.
Yeah.
You grew up here somewhat. Can you tell us how you grew up?
I was born in the US. My parents moved there for work. And then at the age of 4, we moved to Ecuador. And then from Ecuador, we did a quick return back to the US, but eventually ended up in Spain. This was also for my dad's job. I grew up in Spain, and then I would spend summers here in Sweden. So we would go to Jönköping, which is not too far away from here. It's like an hour, 30-minute drive or something. And I would travel back and forth. And then in 2002, I went to Singapore for a little bit. I was studying environmental science, and I went from Spain to Singapore a couple of times. And from there, I met some Americans, and I realized, you know what, maybe I want to go to the US and see what's out there. So in 2004, I moved to San Francisco in California, and I was supposed to be there for 8 months.
Yeah.
And I'm still there 13 years later.
So I guess you like it there.
I like it, yes.
So you traveled a lot. Is that the best place? And if so, why? What have made you stay for 13 years?
Okay.
It's a long time.
Yeah, you know, when I first moved there, I went back because I was curious to figure out where my roots were and where I came from. And when my time was almost up, I kept on having these reoccurring dreams of me being in Spain and being like, wait, I'm not done with my job in the US. I had some goals, and I hadn't achieved those goals yet. So I ended up sticking around, and then eventually I met who is now my wife. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we've stuck around ever since. And it's, the US has just given me an opportunity to reach an audience that was ready to pay attention. And I happened to come across at the right time with a sport and a fitness program that was just growing. And that was CrossFit. And even though I wouldn't say I'm a purist in CrossFit at all. I'm far from it. CrossFit gave me the opportunity to speak to people that wanted to be educated.
Yeah.
And were okay with someone who was in the process of educating himself, which was very cool.
Yes. I mean, I've been doing CrossFit and coaching for 3 or 4 years, perhaps. And one thing that I really like is the openness of the community. It's, compared to other communities that I've been in or looked at or so, the openness to learn and to see, okay, I'm here now, I can't do, as we talked about muscle up before, I can't do it, but I know that if I put in the work, I will be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, in 99% of the time, everyone knows this and everybody respects the process. So I really like that openness. But back to your backstory. So 2004, you're in San Francisco, and how did you... you take us just briefly. You went into a CrossFit gym.
No, actually, when I got to San Francisco, I was working at a marine mammal hospital.
Marine mammal hospital.
Yes, I studied environmental science.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually California sea lions, and my job was to feed them, of course, and do all these things, but. One of my jobs that I was working on was pathology. So I was doing kind of like what you do on humans, an autopsy. More in the animal world, it's called a necropsy. And it's basically, it's a dead body that you open up and then you test all the different organs and you see, you know, what kind of diseases.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, so I was doing a lot of pathology studies.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would take the samples, take them to the lab, and then You do reports.
I have a hard time visioning you doing this, but okay.
Yeah, so that was one job. The other job was in the evenings, I would go to a gymnastics facility called Acro Sports. And there I would coach recreational gymnastics to young boys. And then from there, that grew eventually to the point where, this is a story I've never actually told publicly, but I saw Tony Horton. Tony Horton has a program called P90X.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And it's part of this big company called Beachbody. And it's, if you look at it, it's pretty ridiculous. But this guy, Tony Horton, had some sort of personality that just reminded me of these VHS tapes that my mom had of Jane Fonda,
okay,
who I believe is one of the biggest fitness personalities of all time in terms of media. That doesn't mean she was doing the right thing or saying the right things and it wasn't cheesy, but there was something there. And I wondered the power of entertainment.
Yeah.
How powerful it was, and how through media we could communicate very important information. But it's very easy to get caught up in sales, numbers, saying things just to please others.
Yeah.
So it was that got me into the fitness industry, because I was curious about how do we speak to people in an honest, authentic way that makes them understand something about themselves and can actually make really good change. I thought it was going to be easy, but it definitely wasn't. Fast forward a little bit, I became a personal trainer. I worked at a health club. From there, I went to another gym where I was renting space, started my own business. This was in 2007.
Okay.
I had at that time also found CrossFit, San Francisco CrossFit, where I met Kelly Starrett. Kelly Starrett was then just finishing PT, so he was starting to become a physical therapist. And that's where CrossFit, San Francisco CrossFit, my work targeted towards action sports and wanting to do more media just started to explode. Oh. It all came together. And the media part became a huge part of it with CrossFit, because CrossFit loved videos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still does.
It still does. And those videos were my opportunity to try to use words that people could understand and teach them something that I had learned my whole life, gymnastics, but applied to them. And that was my goal, to just encourage people to understand.
Thank you for sharing that story. It's another piece of this puzzle.
That's cool.
I remember seeing, I started doing CrossFit, I realized I suck at burpees. It's too hard. It shouldn't be this hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still hard for me, but it's not as hard as it was in the beginning. Uh-huh. You gave me a framework with the, we call it the feather in or the spring in Swedish. Using, you know, arching your back and then using that spring to pick up your feet.
Yep.
As we did a bit yesterday as well. So I really like that. Are you, now we're in gymnastics, you call it Gymnastics WOD?
Gymnastics WOD was a website I started in 2010. And it's still live, but it's transformed now into freestyleconnection.com.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a whole nother story.
So all the videos that we could see in Gymnastics WOD are still there.
They're still there.
You're doing new movies and instructions or frameworks on freestyle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the website?
FreestyleConnection.com. It's not a dating site. It's not a dating. Yeah, not a dating site.
Okay. Okay. Yesterday we had, or you had a seminar. And I was an attendee. So what I really like, your presence is really, it's incredible as a coach to just watch and learn. I try to activate all my mirror neurons that I had.
That's so awesome.
We'll see.
Thank you.
You call it in the book, the Imagine Game.
Mm-hmm.
And I really would like, if you don't disagree, to take us through just some short steps of how you're teaching the Imagine Game
mm-hmm.
to learn people how to get up from the floor with
mm-hmm.
one leg injured,
mm-hmm.
two, one arm injured, two arms injured. As
well. Yeah. So the Imagine Game is simply an expression of how I learned how to coach. When I started coaching, I started coaching actually at 96 that summer. And I didn't really know what I was saying. I was just saying stuff. But it was in a language I could speak, which was Spanish. When I moved to the US, I could speak English, but I didn't know the words. It was very hard for me. So what I realized is that what I could do was move. So as I moved, I spoke, and all I said was the movements I was doing. I described my motion. Right? And then eventually, after doing that 100 times, 1,000 times, I could memorize those steps, and then it became just this, a dialogue, an expression. So through movement, showing movement, like the Imagine Game, I can help people do the same thing with moving without thinking by setting very basic standards. So if I go through the Imagine Game that we did yesterday, it starts by I ask a person, hey, do you want to play a game with me? And they say yes, and I lie them down on the floor, and I start them facing down. And the first thing I tell them is, imagine you're walking down the street, you tripped and fell, and now you're on the ground. Can you get up? And I usually have to tell them, as a normal person, I don't like to say normal, but that's the only way people understand, to just get up like you would if you fell on the street, which is taking a big step, pushing yourself away a little bit, and then standing up and kind of dusting yourself off. And then I say the same thing. I say, okay, imagine you're walking down the street, but you're being followed, and you tripped and you fell, and you had to get up a little faster and walk away. All of a sudden, the way they stand up is a little bit different. It's a little bit faster. The ranges of motion are a little shorter. The position of the feet go a little narrower. They're getting ready to fight, kind of thing. So things start adapting. And then I do the same thing where I say, okay, you have a broken leg, and now you're coming into train. We're going to do a burpee with a broken leg. What does that look like? And all of a sudden, the body adopts certain shapes that I don't even have to tell them to get into it. The body does it for them.
Yeah.
And once I've done this Imagine Game with many different variations of scenarios, when you look back, you see that all of the movement patterns develop within that getup are present in all styles of sport, life, and you can translate those positions that are completely, for lack of better words right now, natural. All movement is natural, but natural. It's not something invented. It's just something that the body does. It can be translated and applied and now taught and formalized and standardized in a way that it allows people to see right away,
mm-hmm.
get a code, and then go use it and grow.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, now we're talking about this, you said natural, but I think I can't find a better word myself, but I think what I really like about this is you don't really have to tell anyone, use your right leg and then put your feet down and stuff like that. Or it's just get up the fastest way you can and pretend that you're being chased.
Mm-hmm.
And that for most people, I have never seen, I only tried it once as a coach because
mm-hmm.
I just finished your book about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Nice.
I can't imagine any faster way than doing a burpee.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're injured, perhaps, maybe you do a quick rolling pistol or something like that, but then you have to also have a flexibility. And that brings us to the pistol squat, the
mm-hmm.
single leg squat, as you have one of the four foundational movements. And why is it important to learn or understand the pistol squat for locomotion, running,
mm-hmm.
walking?
Mm-hmm.
Can you
Yeah, so the pistol squat is a squat with one leg. And that squat, because our leg is on one side of our body, it creates a rotational component. It creates a little spin that we need to resist in order to not fall. That ability to resist rotation from the trunk, from the hips, is the foundation of locomotion. Walking, running, throwing, catching, crawling. If you've heard or followed someone like Ido Portal,
yes,
he talks about locomotion a lot, and he has a big part of his training methodology, which is locomotion. And it's not new. His style and the way he teaches it is very influenced by capoeira, but he definitely has very original takes on locomotion. But you go to gymnastics, and gymnastics has it as well. Running, tumbling, vaulting. It just looks different. Yeah. Yeah. And it's adapted to a certain discipline, to one specific need. You go to the world of running. Running is dedicated 100% to locomotion.
Yes.
So locomotion is really what we're wired for, which is local. If you think about local as almost like its position in space. But for us, when we think about anatomy, local can be the joint. Loco, motion, movement within the joints.
Mm-hmm.
Applied to function, functional movements. It's task driven. So anything in reality is locomotion.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, sure.
Right? But most people, if you're not familiar with the fitness industry, you'll think of something locomotive. Yeah. You'll think of a train, right? Or a car or something like that. But that's why the pistol is so powerful, because it contains that principle of resisting the rotation of your upper body versus your lower body.
Mm-hmm.
And then changing your arms as you maybe like walking and you swing the arms as you change your feet. And you create this rotational component that allows you to move forward. Extremely complex analysis of a movement, but very simple in execution.
Yeah.
Because we're designed for it and we do it so well.
Yes, I mean, you mentioned Born to Run, the book yesterday, mm-hmm. as a recommended reading. I think it was the only book you mentioned.
Yeah, yesterday. I mentioned that because I was reminded the other day of Born to Run, and I was like, how powerful that is. Because now that I'm in the footwear business and apparel, it really got me thinking about why we wear shoes.
Yes. Why do we wear shoes?
You know,
why aren't we born with a 1 centimeter sole?
Well, I think so. If you read Born to Run or whatever, so one of the premises of the book is that we're wired for running, and one of our superpowers is that we can outrun in distance any animal. And one of our tools to help do that is perspiration. It's sweating. So because we're so able to sweat, we can last very long. And it's the locomotion lasting very long that can outrun anyone.
Yeah.
Now, these people run back in the day, or even nowadays, I know that there are certain tribes that still do this kind of hunting, where they hunt down a prey like that. But they do wear a thin slipper.
Yeah.
And it's just to protect them from, wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just to be able to last a little longer. And here is something that's so powerful, and this is maybe a little aside, but Steve Jobs had a really cool interview. This was like in the 80s, late 80s. They interviewed him, and they asked him about his computer company. And he said, no, it's not a computer company. This is a tool company. We build tools.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, let me give you an example. They did this study on these animals and locomotion, and one of the animals was the human being. And they were studying efficiency and effectiveness of locomotion. The condor apparently came number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what the human being came out, but it was something like 36. Not very highly ranked.
Mm-hmm. What's a condor?
A condor is a type of bird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a type of bird. So the flying mechanics of the condor was very efficient in locomotion. Okay. But then they retested with the human being on a bike.
Uh-huh.
And the human being on the bike came out number one with a huge margin with number two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our ability as human beings to build tools that make us really, really effective and efficient in terms of our expression of movement. But at the same time, those tools can be limited if we're not familiar with how we move. And this is where ergonomics comes into play, and how we design chairs and airplane seats and your keyboard and your handlebars on a bike and everything. That is very powerful. So the shoe business is kind of the same thing. It's how do we design a tool that just adds value and doesn't take away from your innate ability to move, but yet allows you to push your limit as far as you can go. It's a fine balance.
Yes. So this brings us into a company that you're engaged with in. Strike Movement, I think, is the name of the company.
That's correct, yeah.
So you do shoot. How did you get engaged with them?
So I was technically sponsored by Reebok when I was in the CrossFit community, really deep in there. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I wanted to do with Reebok was I wanted to really be part of the development of their product. Because I believe that as a professional, if I was coming in, I was not just going to be a pretty face in a picture, and with some social media followers, I was just going to sell their product. I needed to really be a part of the product to be able to sell it. And they're such a big company that I got a little lost in there.
Okay.
And eventually, after my 2 years, I decided, you know what? I'm not going to resign. I love you guys. You're awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. But I need to be... not a number anymore. And then I interviewed this guy, Mark Morissette, who was a pro snowboarder back in the 90s. He was one of the first pro snowboarders in the world, who, when he started retiring from snowboarding, really got into training and eventually designed a shoe. And he put the shoe out, and that's when he founded the company. This was in 2010. Okay. But it was in 2012 where the first collection came out. And that's when I joined forces with him and started working with him and invested a lot in the company because I really believe in the product. And it's been an amazing process and journey to just experience what it's like to develop a product from scratch and then present it to an audience that is highly educated, that is highly critical, and being able to continue to rebuild that and make sure that we are consciously just doing the right thing, whatever that means, and not selling people on gimmicks like, this is a little thing so you can do better handstand push-ups, or this is so you can lift better. Those gimmicks are great for sales and great to get people excited, but that's not why you really use that tool. And that's what we're working on right now. So that's how I got involved, and that's how it's been going.
Where can people buy, especially in Sweden, where can they buy Strike Movement? Do you know?
Yeah. Right now, strike-movement with no vowels, so MVMNT. .eu, and we ship straight from Helsinki.
Okay.
We have a store there, actually. We have two guys, that Ville and Tuka, who run it, and they're awesome.
Okay.
And actually, we're looking into getting a spot here in Göteborg.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So if anyone is listening, well, I can tell you, perhaps my friend, well, we can take it after.
Let's take it after. I am all about it.
Yeah. So we're going to link to everything that we talked about, and especially this website, strikemovement.eu, for the show notes. So now we're getting into your entrepreneurship and your engagement in other things. How... Mm-hmm. And you're traveling like a mad person, if you ask me what I can see. How do you find the balance from, I mean, you also you have a wife and a kid, a company, your coach, a thought leader, if you ask me, an author. I mean, how do you balance it? How do you, what's your secret? I mean, you look very healthy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, I try to take care of myself the best I can. I just told my brother this the other day, and he was kind of shocked, but I don't set an alarm clock.
Oh, I'm also a bit shocked.
Yeah, I never set an alarm clock. And the reason is because I believe that this may be the hippie side of me, but I believe that the universe kind of guides me. And I can make change in the universe according to my level of consciousness. Okay, that it sounds crazy, but I've always been able to, since I was a kid, achieve what I wanted to achieve. Even if it didn't look like what I wanted to do, it always felt like I had it in my head when I started moving towards it. So the way I balance it is simply by reminding myself that I am in control. And when I get a gap, you saying, hey, can we do a podcast? Yes. It's a sign. Someone giving me an opportunity to maybe share something. Do I have to do other things? Yes, but they're probably not that pressing if my heart is telling me to come here. And it's trusting that process that allows me to balance hanging out with my wife. Yeah. We have dinner every night when I'm home.
Okay.
Hanging out with my kid as much as I can. She's a teenager, so she loves to be everywhere, and she's a little crazy. But, you know, when I get to go and take her for dinner or do something fun, or we go. Mm-hmm. I drop everything and I go. When I have an opportunity to train and it's there, I train. Mm-hmm. When I have an opportunity to write, I write. Mm-hmm. And that's how I do. And I just make sure that every day I hit a little bit of everything.
Okay. So consistency and small progress in all areas.
Mm-hmm. I always say it's consistency, a little bit of everything every day. Okay. Chase quality. You can't make it perfect, but make it as good as you can.
Yeah.
And then PMA, which is positive mental attitude.
Yes.
On everything you can. If you're getting frustrated about something, you're probably learning something. So... Yes. Take it for what it is.
Yes. And you, you mentioned PMA in I think the programming part of the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
The program has to stimulate PMA.
Yeah.
So now it was a bit, for me, I really like that the universe made you participate in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, universe.
Yes.
It's awesome. And I really like the way of thinking, but I think after... my starstruck after this interview, I will perhaps have a hard time implementing it
yes.
into my life. Trusting the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps trusting myself. Maybe that's a deeper
yeah.
discussion. But yeah.
So, you know, I'm not a religious person. I have a hard time with religion.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to define it in some sort of way, people would define it as like a spiritual person. And all spirituality is this sense of awareness.
Mm.
That's all it is. It's you being conscious of who you are in this place.
Mm.
That's all it is. And when you talk about the universe, you're like, well, that sounds a little crazy. Can you please prove that scientifically to me? But if you watch someone like Wim Hof,
yes.
Yeah. Who, right? One thing that he's doing is breathing techniques, scientific research that backs it up, but then he does a lot of rituals around it, non-religious rituals that look a little crazy, but it gets people focused. And this is where we go back to entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment simply means holding focus. That's what entertainment means. And when you know how to entertain yourself, you are in 100% focus and you find that clarity. When you have clarity, you can accept, you don't judge, you can let go.
Mm-hmm.
And you take whatever is in front of you for what it is. And when you can see things like that, you have the ability to choose what you want to do. And it's as simple as that. And there's some sort of space that you find between those things that you think are real, like your thoughts in your head or your actions that you have to do, where there's something a little bit more meaningful. Maybe you can't explain it.
Mm.
But when you appreciate it and pay attention to it, you can actually mold it.
Mm.
It's like, why do you do this podcast? For yeah. what?
Yes.
And what is it you feel after you do this podcast? Mm. There's something that drives you to continue to do more.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you create.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think I'm looking. And I recently finished a book by Simon Sinek, Find mm-hmm. Your Why. Or Start With Why. Start With Why.
I don't know if it's Start With Why, but he's the why guy.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, he's the why guy. So I mean, I haven't asked myself the question like that before, but I realize I'm, you know, looking, mm-hmm. navigating through the universe, mm-hmm. Trying to find. I know I will keep moving for the rest of my life, so that's why I really like talking to you and other movers, mm-hmm. professional movers, mm-hmm. Because it's like a flow, or you said locomotion. We're mm-hmm. made for locomotion, mm-hmm. and. It's like looking at the nature. Now we're getting perhaps a bit deeper. So
yeah, it's okay. It's okay. The listeners will take it for a second.
But if you stop, you die.
Yeah.
If you look at water and it's not flowing, it attracts death, or mm-hmm. you don't drink that water.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like, and now we're getting back full circle to skill transfer and movement and so on. And
yeah.
We're ending, closing up to the end of the show. I'm very want to be respectful of your time, so. If we go back to movement now and transferability, is mm-hmm. there anything that you think people should ask you more, or are a bit surprised? Why aren't they asked? Yesterday you started with, what do you want to know today?
Mm-hmm.
Or, is there any part of you that during those seminars that, why can't anyone ask me that question? Or maybe it's different each time.
You know, I do get bored sometimes of teaching people how to do a push-up and a squat and a muscle-up all the time. It's like, okay, how many more do you want to do? But no, I honestly don't care. Ask whatever you want. And I think that's what's so exciting, is that whatever people ask, we can always put it in different contexts. And that is so powerful.
Yeah.
So that's why I've kind of come to realize that, okay, if I have to teach a push-up for the rest of my life to get people to appreciate themselves, appreciate others, go out and pursue their dreams and do crazy stuff that's going to make them feel good, then I'll keep teaching push-ups for the rest of my life.
Well, I think that would be a great thing for all the movers out there, and the pull and the press. I mean, the simplicity as well, as you did yesterday with, we didn't have any tools. I think you brought out a plate at some point, mm-hmm. Teaching a pistol. So where can people find out more of what you do? What's on the horizon for Freestyle Connection? Are you going to write? If anyone wants to attend a seminar, I know tomorrow I think you will be in Helsinki.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably not have time to release the podcast before tomorrow. So, but in the future, next coming 6 months or year, what's on the horizon for Carl?
So freestyleconnection.com, yeah. I plan on continuing to put information in there, instructional videos, demo videos, written articles, research, programming from basic movement applied, we call it the modern mover. So anyone who runs or skateboards, snowboards, whether it's X Games or they just do it for fun. It's people who want to move better for life, and it's mostly dedicated to the modern mover. That's the short-term version of that. And then what that site is, it's a subscription-based site, so you can either subscribe monthly or yearly. Those who subscribe yearly get access, free access to my seminar.
Okay.
So the seminars that I'm going to be doing in 2017, if you are a yearly subscriber for Freestyle Connection, you get a free pass to one of my seminars.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so, and I have two new seminars coming out. Mm-hmm. One is basically on excellence of being a coach, a teacher, a speaker.
Nice.
And just excellent, whatever that means. We'll define that in the seminar. And then the other one is more dedicated to the freestyle methodology and helping people understand. It was kind of like what you experienced yesterday. And then with Strike Movement, we have a new collection coming out right now, right before Christmas. Really excited about it. New shoes, new clothes. We have a new women's designer on the team. She's awesome. So the women's clothes is coming out. We're trying to get more involved in Europe. And you can find me on social media. I try to reply on Instagram. So Instagram at Carl Paoli, Twitter Carl Paoli, Facebook Carl Paoli. You'll find me there. And I try to do the best I can at responding. Yeah, so that's the near future. And hopefully talking to you again.
Yes, for sure. It feels like I'm very grateful that you took the time. And when you meet someone, I think it's hard for you to put yourself in my shoes, but if you try, it's like I want to ask so many questions. I want to, you know, hold on to you for the rest of my life.
Right there,
market or something like that. So I'm very humbled. And if you like this, please help Carl out. He's on a mission. So buy the book.
The book
is awesome. And to be honest, I thought I bought it because you did so much for me with mm-hmm. all the videos. I thought, maybe I read it later. I don't think it's that good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good.
Thank you.
I was surprised. And perhaps I shouldn't be. Now we haven't talked about your language skills. And that's my second to last question.
Yeah.
How come you're so good in Spanish, Swedish, and English?
I think that's about it. I speak Spanish because I grew up in Spain, went to school in Spain.
Check on that. Yeah.
I speak Swedish because my parents are Swedish, so I speak Swedish with them. And then I speak English because I live in the US, so that's the mix.
Short version. So now it's the last question.
Yes.
And we modified it a bit. So it's your, if you had, you talked to the doctor, a variation of the Imagine mm-hmm. game, and the doctor said, sorry, Carl, you only have 24 hours to live. What top three things would you do or recommend? This is a beta question, perhaps, but mm-hmm. you can only do three things.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I would thank my parents and my family for all their support and help and for all their teachings and guidance, and I'll tell them that I love them. I would kiss my wife and tell her that she is the most beautiful woman I've ever met and awesome. And I would do the same thing with my daughter. And then I would say, see you later. Thank you so much. It's been great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think about that question? Is that a good question? I don't know.
I think it's a great question. I think a lot of people maybe think about not worrying about money anymore.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden feeling like I can do whatever I want. And they would just go. But the thing is, I've already done that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. But I have learned to let go. I can't, what I can't control, I will stress about it. But when I take a breath, I just hold still. It all comes back to perspective. I am living every day like it's my last day.
Hmm. I like that.
And it feels great.
Okay. Carl Paoli, thank you very much. 100 million freestyle moves to you.
Thank you
for being on the floor.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I hope I'll be back.
Yes, we hope so too.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Flawed podcast. Make sure to check out the show notes for this episode and all other episodes on flawed.se/podcast. Please give us a 5-star review if you think we earned it. That makes it easier for other people to find the podcast. If you're a social animal, find us on social media. Facebook, where we are most active. We are also on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. This is Flawed in one word. Also, subscribe to our newsletter. You will get some goodies, and you will, on a monthly-ish basis, get some news, what we're doing, what we're reading, and what we're up to. Do you eat or take supplements? Well, I do, and I take Pure Pharma supplements, and Pure Pharma supports us a bit. They are providing our Swedish audience with a 10% discount if you use the promo code FLAWD. You will get get a 10% discount. And me personally, I take magnesium every night. Usually people have a magnesium deficiency. Do you want to get coached by me? I am a CrossFit coach and currently I'm residing in CrossFit Backaplan in Gothenburg, Sweden. I also coach online and I coach clients in post-running and in mobility. I'm a cyber coach, so if you're not living in Gothenburg, you can contact me using the coach.me app that we talked about in the episode with Tony Stubblebine, the founder of that application. Also, of course, if you have any feedback or guest suggestions, feel free to contact me. Well, that was it for this time. I look forward to the next episode and I hope to see you and talk to you there. Until then, remember, luck fortunes the brave.